First of all, before we begin, I would like to blame Mr. Tinkles and Lady Vicarian for this challenge. I don't know what, I am ultimately to blame here, but I don't know why I agreed in the first place. When Mr. and Mrs. Dursley woke up on the dull gray Tuesday, our story starts. There was nothing about the cloudy sky outside to suggest that strange and mysterious things would soon be happening all over the country. Mr. Dursley hummed as he picked out his most boring tie for work, and Mrs. Dursley gossiped away, happily, as she wrestled a screaming Dudley into his high chair. None of them noticed a large, tawny owl flutter past the window. At 8:05, Mr. Dursley picked up his briefcase. I don't know why I'm speaking in a British accent all of a sudden, but he pecked Mrs. Dursley on the cheek and tried to kiss Dudley goodbye, but missed. Because Dudley was now having a tantrum and throwing his cereal at the walls. Little tyke, chortled Mr. Dursley as he left the house, and that is a plane, and I will ignore that. He got into his car and backed out of number 4's drive. It was on the corner of the street that he noticed the first sign of something peculiar. A cat reading a map. For a second, Mr. Dursley didn't realize what he had seen. Then he jerked his head around to look again. There was a tabby cat standing on the corner of Privet Drive, but there wasn't a map in sight. What could he have been thinking of? Yes, what would I have been thinking of? It must have been a trick of the light. Or I might have just been tricked by two lovely voices. Mr. Dursley blinked and stared at the cat. It stared back. As Mr. Dursley drove around the corner and up the road, he watched the cat in his mirror. It was now reading the sign that said, Privet Drive. No, looking at the sign, cats couldn't read maps or signs. Mr. Dursley gave himself a little shake and put the cat out of his mind. As he drove toward the town, he thought of nothing except a large order of drills he was hoping to get that day. Why? Why are we doing this? In this accent. But on the edge of town, which I'm not edging at right now, drills were driven out of his mind by something else. As he sat in his usual morning traffic jam, he couldn't help noticing that there seemed to be a lot of strangely dressed people about. People. People in cloaks. Mr. Dursley couldn't bear people who dressed in funny clothes. This man is clearly a judgment. The get-ups you saw on young people. He supposed this was some stupid new fashion. I am stupid. He drummed his fingers on the steering wheel and his eyes fell on a huddle of those weirdos standing close by. They were whispering excitedly together. Mr. Dursley was enraged to see that a couple of them weren't young men at all. Why, that man had to be older than he was and wearing an emerald green cloak. The nerve of him. Yes, the nerve of us. Why are we doing this? But then, it struck Mr. Dursley that this was probably some silly stunt. These people were obviously collecting for something. Yes, that would be it. The traffic moved on, and a few minutes later, Mr. Dursley arrived in the Grunnings parking lot, his mind back on drills. Mr. Dursley always sat with his back to the window in his office on the ninth floor. If he hadn't, he might have found it harder to concentrate on drills that morning. He didn't see the owls whooping past in broad daylight, though people down the street did. How observant. They pointed and gazed open-mouthed as owl after owl sped overhead. most of them had never seen an owl, even at night time. Mr. Dursley, however, had a perfectly normal, owl-free morning. He yelled at 5 different people, he made several important telephone calls, and shouted a bit more. He was in a very good mood until lunchtime, when he thought he'd stretch his legs and walk across the road to buy himself a bun from the bakery. This is actually quite exhausting. And I'm still speaking in an accent I don't even know if I can actually do. He'd forgotten all about the people in cloaks until he passed a group of them next to the bakers. He eyed them angrily as he passed. He didn't know why, but they made him uneasy. I believe that is racist, sir. This bunch were whispering excitedly, too, and he couldn't see a single collecting tin. He was on his way back past them. Why am I doing this? Clutching a large donut in a bag. Clearly donuts have an effect on me. That he caught a few words of what they were saying. The Potters. That's right, that's what I heard. Yes, their son Harry. Mr. Dursley stopped dead. Fear flooded him. He looked back at the whisperers as if he wanted to say something to them, but thought better of it. This is actually really exhausting. He dashed back across the road, hurried up to his office, snapped at his secretary not to disturb him, seized his telephone, and had almost finished dialing his home number when he changed his mind. He put the receiver back down and stroked his clit. Stroked his moustache, thinking, no, he was being stupid, I am being stupid. Potter wasn't such an unusual name. I was sure there were lots of people called Potter who had a son called Harry. Come to think of it, he wasn't even sure his nephew was called Harry. He never ever seen the boy. It might have been Harvey or Harold. There was no point in worrying Mrs. Dursley. She always got so upset at any mention of her sister. He didn't blame her if he'd had a sister like that. But all the same, those people in cloaks. Am I really supposed to finish all of this? He found it a lot harder to concentrate on drills that afternoon, and when he left the building at 5 o'clock, he was still so worried that he walked straight into someone just outside the door. Sorry, he grunted as the tiny old man stumbled and almost fell. It was a few seconds before Mr. Dursley realized that the man was wearing a violet cloak. He didn't seem at all upset at being almost knocked to the ground. On the contrary, his face split into a wide smile, and he said, in a squeaky voice that made passersby stare, "Don't be sorry, my dear sir, for nothing could upset me today. Rejoice, for you know who has gone at last. Even muggles like yourself should be celebrating this happy, happy day." And the old man hugged Mr. Dursley around the middle and walked off. I think I have to just skip this. I think I'll have to skip to the good part, which Tinkles and Lady Vicarian actually really wanted me to hear. So I will skip. Wish me luck. Why am I doing this?